bust on over to fanexchange.com for a safe, easy, and reliable experience. A great experience. Tickets purchased on Fan Exchange are always guaranteed. There's no getting to the gate and then worrying about getting in. Fan Exchange gets you closer to the action. Find the very best seats at the best prices at fanexchange.com. Use the promo code ROME. Again, promo code ROME and get 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. Fan Exchange, we have tickets.
This is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio.
Glad you're with us. Damon Amendolara, DA in for Jim today here on CBS Sports Radio. And of course, simulcast across the country and other places in sparkling Technicolor HD TV on the great CBS Sports Network, your 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Thanks for carving out some time for us. This is always a total thrill. I precede Jim on many of these same CBS Sports radio stations. And so now to be able to fill in for Jim as I have the last couple of years every so often is always such a total thrill, a total rush, as you might imagine. And we did the story last hour of three brilliant young men who decided, let's steal a shark from the San Antonio Aquarium. How do they do that? Well, the shark was in a petting tank, smaller than 2 feet long, and they swaddled it in a blanket onesie slash thing and put it in a stroller and tried to stroll it out to their van. As you might imagine, just a few tweets came in from you clones making a Jim McElwain rip joke crack. So I think that we'll set aside, I don't know, 45 minutes for all of your Jim McElwain jokes? Hour and a half or so? You know, I'm back in next Monday, so maybe I'll just take the first hour of next Monday's show and read all of the Jim McElwain shark jokes. How about it? Also, this hour, we've got to discuss John Gruden taking the Raiders back to the 70s. That's what it's about. Old school. When I think about what succeeds in today's NFL, I'm thinking, throw it back. How did we used to play like 40 years ago? That's the way you're going to win. Gruden's talking openly about bringing the 90s back. Hey, man. I like Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba as well in 1997, but I think now it hasn't really aged all that great. Gruden's like, you know, Sean, this guy's a football player, and I love Aqua by Barbie Girl. I need more of it. We need this team to go back to the 90s. Somebody get Jennifer Aniston on the phone. She's a football player, Sean, and we need more of those. Also, let's discuss Jerry Jones having a harsh stance on the national anthem, but apparently not understanding the actual rules of the national anthem. Take off your hat, Jerry. That's coming up this hour on the show. Our next guest is a two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He played in the NFL for a decade. Also was an SEC champion back in 2000 with the Florida Gators. NFL analyst Max Starks joins us on the show, and I've been told in my ear, breaking news, Max Starks just got off a hot air balloon. Max, are you okay?
Yes, yes. All fingers and limbs are accounted for, and we have all the same children that we went up with, so it's a good time.
I've never been in a hot air balloon. Is it scary?
The good thing is we were at the safari park here in San Diego, and there's a big, like, 400-pound winch that held us in place. So no, not that scary.
Okay, that's good. Good to know. It's good to know. My guess is you're the first offensive lineman out of those Steelers teams that went up in a hot air balloon.
You know what? I'm gonna guess yes. Yeah. Linemen aren't really built for floating.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good line.
Yeah.
Max Starks joins us here on the show. Hey, so I want to ask you about one of the biggest stories right now of training camp, but that is Dez Bryant. Do you think by the time the regular season rolls around, a little over a month from now or so, do you think that Dez will finally have a job?
You know, I believe so. I believe when you look at what training camp is and how it is now, injuries happen all the time, and teams are always going to look to upgrade their wide receiving core once they've actually analyzed and saw what they brought in for prospects or free agents. So I really believe that Dez is going to have a job by the regular season because he's still a talent. He's still a very tall, targeted receiver. So he's going to get a shot with somebody.
Do you think when he goes out and rips Sean Lee or the Cowboys organization, do you think that would scare off or could scare off a potential suitor?
Well, I would hope not. I mean, when you look at the context on how his name was brought up, he was simply in response to, you know, it wasn't like he went out of his way to go and call people out or, you know, to create attention for himself like other wide receivers have done in the past. I think it's more so it was in retaliation, like, hey, you guys sitting there talking bad about me. I didn't say anything about you guys, so but I am going to respond now that you brought my name up. So I think it was more reactionary. I don't think that shouldn't be a worry in teams' minds, especially if you're looking for a wide receiver to get your production and hopefully help you get into the playoffs. I hope it's a little bit more upstanding than that.
Stephen Jones made the comment that maybe Dak Prescott will be better this year because he won't have the demands or the pressures of getting Dez or Jason Witten the ball. Is that wishful thinking or can there be a benefit there?
I think it's wishful thinking. I think when you look at having a veteran presence on your team, it's the maturity and with play calling. You know, Dak is still a young quarterback. And he's adapted to his receivers year after year and what the circumstances are given each team. So I don't think if he's going to get better, I think it's going to be because Ezekiel Elliott's still on the field and his defense is also keeping offenses from consuming time on the clock. I think that will be the two keys that make Dak better because he has a great offensive line in front of him and he'll hopefully have his guys in place to play all 16 games. I think that's where it comes from, is just having time and having all your options available. That's what's going to breed a better year.
Max Starks is our guest here on the show. It's interesting what's happening in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson has gotten a lot of rave reviews from the coaching staff for a rookie quarterback, and I wonder how much of that do you think is what they really like about Lamar Jackson, and how much of that do you think is trying to light a fire under Joe Flacco? Because there's always been those worries that maybe Joe wasn't as focused or motivated as perhaps he should be.
I think it's twofold. I think it's to motivate Joe. That's the reason why you drafted Lamar Jackson at the end of the first round and put pressure on your starting franchise quarterback. But secondly, they do have to plan for the future because if Joe Flacco does have another year like he had and they don't make the playoffs, then you have to question, why do we pay this guy? What is he going to actually add to us as far as a value, and we need to prepare for the future, especially when you think of the prevalence of now the new fad, which is having the RPOs or the run-pass option available to teams, and you start getting these quarterbacks that are more comfortable with those type of systems. You can just look at, you know, this year's draft. So I think it's twofold. I think you have to get Lamar Jackson ready because there are going to be some opportunities where you're going to be able to insert him into the offense and get some kind of gimmicky type plays in there. Think about the Wildcat when Miami did it with Ronnie Brown back in like 2005, 2006, to now it's now the RPO and having quarterbacks who are mobile that are a two-way threat once they're out of the pocket. So it's going to add a new dimension for this Baltimore Ravens offense.
It's funny, right? We kind of scoff at the Wildcat and just think of that as just a one-year gimmick for the Dolphins, and Ronnie Brown's kind of place in history is a very specific moment in time. But as you said, RPO has taken the league by storm. So in some ways, the Wildcat will live, at least for this time, this era. It's pretty prevalent in a lot of offenses, right?
It is, because you realize it's so tough for a defense to defend against because your defensive end is going to have to step up when he's usually taught to just engage and attack the ball carrier. But the second he does, or a defensive back bites right before he gets up there, and then they just toss the ball over his head, and the defensive back has negated his responsibility. It just allows for so much flexibility within an offense when you have that threat there. You don't have to run it every other play, but just having the threat there to go a series and run RPO really puts the defense on its heels and plus makes them second-guess their assignments and their keys.
Max Starks is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio and the CBS Sports Network. What'd you make of Tom Brady getting snippy with reporters and shutting down that interview when they asked him about the connection between his wide receiver, PEDs, and Alex Guerrero, his trainer?
It's Tom Brady. It's New England Patriots. You can't expect anything less from them, especially anything that's negative. You know, Tom Brady is always going to try and keep the best positive image possible when it comes to his organization, his team, the people in his inner circle. So for him, that's just his way of being kind of a little dramatic with shutting down that conversation. But in his mind, he's like, hey, if I don't comment, you can't make any comments about it. So it's almost shutting out the media from any speculation.
So that makes sense, but was it interesting that Tom Brady's always been so cordial with the media no matter what they asked him? And this was the first time, at least I can remember, that he showed an impatience, almost a frustration. Would it suggest that uniquely right now he's more frustrated than he's ever been with criticism maybe that he's getting?
I would say so. I mean, but also you think, how long has he been in the league? I mean, the guy's going to be close to two decades of football, and now the chinks are starting to show in the armor with the once, you know, pristine walled fortress that is New England football. And now you're starting to see the chinks. You're starting to see somebody be upset. You saw the Malcolm Butler sitting, how that played out. Nobody saying anything about it. Alex Guerrero, deflated footballs, Spygate. You know, you're getting all of these different things, and finally it's probably coming to a head, and he just doesn't want to deal with it. So it's like, hey, I'm going to shut this down. I've been cordial. You can play replays of when I was cordial, because now it's like I'm just focused on winning. I don't have a team that's as good as it was in years past. You know, we have new pieces in place. So now you're starting to see a little bit more of that frustration set up.
Your former team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who you won two Super Bowls with, made a decision on Le'Veon Bell not to go the full whole hog on an extension. Instead, franchise him yet again. They could not come to a decision. Do you think that the Steelers played this game the right way with Le'Veon Bell?
I think it's a tough position that they're in, and especially to assume that, you know, the team has truly kind of lost out on opportunity. I think there's still an opportunity at the end of the season, especially if things go as Le'Veon plans it to go, that they can make an offer that hopefully will reflect what he's worth. Because you look at now, you have a Todd Gurley contract in place to point to, whereas before all you had was Donta Freeman's contract down in Atlanta. And so now you've seen the bar raised by Todd Gurley. So I think Le'Veon actually gained a little bit, as well as like a guy like a David Johnson. So after this season, or as this season gets to a close, you now have a new benchmark that you can now point to and say, well, am I as good as this guy? I think so. Look at the numbers. Here's what I've done. So I deserve to be paid fairly. And I think Steelers will probably have to come up, you know, at least a couple million in their offer that initially set in for him, and probably put some better guarantees in place if they want to compete for him. Because if not, I think Le'Veon's a guy, if healthy by the end of the season, going into free agency, could definitely break the bank in the open market.
Finally, Drew Stanton told Baker Mayfield, you need to buy us an RV for training camp. And so the Browns have an RV that's for quarterbacks only. And apparently Drew Stanton just laid down the gauntlet back in the spring and said, you owe us this RV. You're the number one pick. Did you guys ever do that to anybody else, say on the offensive line, like, you're the rookie, you got to pay for this for us for training camp? Or did anybody ever make you pay for something for training camp like an RV?
No, I was a third-round pick back in 2004. price of inflation, slot, is a lot higher.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For a first-round pick, I don't think nothing crazy was purchased for us. You know, Steelers are kind of old school in that respect. Guys might have rented a bike, or you might have rented from, like, the local rent-a-center, like a bed and a home entertainment system. But for the most part, we kept it pretty normal. I can't even think of the most extravagant thing we made a rookie pay for was a big dinner out with the offensive line and, like, the quarterbacks.
Max Starks joining us here on the show. You can follow him on Twitter, at MaxStarks78, NFL analyst, two-time Super Bowl winner with the Pittsburgh Steelers, 10-year veteran of the NFL. And he gave us one of the all-time great lines, offensive linemen are not built to float, despite going up on a hot air balloon earlier today. Max, it's always good to catch up, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. Take care.
Okay. Max Starks joining us, former NFL tackle on the offensive line of those Steelers teams. Never have truer words been spoken. Offensive lineman, not built to float. When we come back here on the show, I think I've got to read through the Jim McElwain shark tweets. I mean, I think I have to. I've got to set aside like a good 10 minutes for these. Plus, is John Gruden stuck in 1976? Damon Amendolara, DA in for Jim today here on CBS Sports Radio and simulcast the CBS Sports Network.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You're in a...
Minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. Damon Amendolara, DA in for Jim today here on CBS Sports Radio and simulcast the CBS Sports Network. Earlier in the show, we did the story about the three dudes trying to steal the shark Helen, Miss Helen, which is like a 2-foot long shark out of the San Antonio Aquarium. Putting it in a blanket, rolling it out in a stroller, and putting it in a van before they got nabbed and arrested. And as you might imagine, shockingly, the clones have sent just a few tweets regarding Jim McElwain's take on the situation. Where's this aquarium you speak of? I'm still fighting my restraining order at SeaWorld, signed Jim McElwain. That's from Canadian Hitman. Stolen shark talk. Can we get back to Dwight Howard? Signed Jim McElwain from Johnny Scab. Are there always cameras around these sharks? Sheesh. Signed Jim McElwain. War DA on wood scopes. That's from 12 Wood. Indeed, I'm very fired up. You know 12 Wood. Dude's got a scope about the show that he does Friday nights. It's an epic part of the jungle lexicon and culture. The show about the show about the show within the show about the show within the show. Looks like I'll be joining him. Looks like a week from Friday on the Wood Scope, which is very cool. Appreciate you asking. I'm buying a van for DA and painting a shark on it. That's from Jules. I'm not getting in that van. I was told a long time ago, as a child of the 80s, you do not get into that van, especially a van with a stripe on it. That's always the worst kind of van, the stripe on the van. And of course, van guys were the ones to steal the baby shark. These guys really need to get their act together. Signed Scooby-Doo and Shaggy from Canadian Hitman, who also writes, stop, Damon. This is a borderline erotic story. Signed Jim McElwain. And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. Regards, Jim McElwain. That's from J. Cole. Are you sure that saltwater... Are you sure that wasn't just saltwater tears dripping from Jeff in San Antonio's face as he admired the beauty of Helen? From Canadian Hitman. I think those goons should have lower dreams, like maybe try jaywalking first or holding down a part-time temp job. Hashtag, I got to get that shark, yo. That's from Adriana. DA, I heard Fonz jumped over the boys and scooped up the shark, bringing it back to safety. War the Fonz, with a gif of the Fonz jumping the shark from Mac. I stole a shark skin bag, but these bags straight up stole shark skin. Signed Winona. That's from Lee Fine, the 716. And Liz tweets, my son who normally listens to Jim Rome with me just said, who is this guy? He's not funny at all. Well, Liz, I don't know how old your son is, but I'm slightly surprised because my humor usually runs very popular with the under 10 crowd. Fourth grade and under, my show usually kills it. So I'm surprised. Excuse me, sir. My baby needs to eat. Have any krill? That's from JP. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. I mean, John Gruden is amazing. He really is. John Gruden really believes that it's not 2018. He truly believes that he can get away winning football games in 2018 by bringing back the past, which is just the most John Gruden thing ever. This feels like a bad sports film. Old coach retires, doesn't coach for 20 years, comes back, dusts off old footage from 30 years ago to show his team. Like it's Hoosiers of the NFL. Jared Cook, Raiders tight end, says, quote, coach has been bringing out film from like 1976 when you ain't even think they had film. Grainy film where you can barely see the players. He said some of the Raiders' new plays and scheme will originate from those years. Remember that Gruden also said, quote, instead of going towards analytics and a new NFL way of looking at things, he wants to, quote, throw the game back to 1998. There is just so much to unpack here that's so good. Number one, Jared Cook saying that film from 1976, you ain't even think they had film back then. Dude, it's only the 70s. You don't think they were watching film in the 70s? Jared Cook was born in 1987. He doesn't think they were watching film 10 years before he was born. No, they were. They definitely were. Yeah, watching film's not like a new thing. Like, film has been around for about 100 years. Watching it to study football, my guess is it's been around since at least 80 years. It's not a new thing to be watching film. What is new is if John Gruden's trying to convince his millennial players that they should be watching black and white granular film of his high school days. That might be a problem. Number two, this is kind of amazing because John Gruden plays the coach of a bad B-list sports film. Like, he should be the coach in The Replacements. He should be the coach in Blue Chips. He should be the coach of Friday Night Lights. That's John Gruden in a nutshell. Grizzled old character coach with a huge personality that believes you do it old school. And we'll win doing it old school. So let's throw back to 1998. Yes, because I think we need bigger shoulder pads and slower moving players. I think less passing and more grunt work is where it's at in today's NFL. I know you can't run two-a-days. I know nobody plays basically in the preseason. I realize that half the NFL's quarterbacks throw for 4,000 or 5,000 yards. But hell, let's throw it back to 1998. I mean, this is just too... Who doesn't need more 112 in their life? I mean, this is just too perfect. Too perfect. Gruden is saying, I need football players. I need a lot of football players, and I want them from the 90s, okay? That's how we're going to win. And watching film that's black and white with these guys. Like, man, they're on iPads and iPhones and Snapchat. And you think they're going to – what do you think your credibility level is like when you show them black and white footage? I mean, it's just perfect, isn't it? It's just totally John Gruden perfect, which means it will either be the best rousing success story in the NFL this year that John Gruden resurrected the ghost of the Raiders, or it will be an unbelievable entertaining nightmare that will go kablooey. But don't worry, he's only under contract for 10 years, so you can get out of that contract soon. If Gruden finishes out that contract, the guys he's showing footage to in 2028 are going to be like, you guys used to watch actual video on your phone? I mean, we got holograms now. And I just got like a chip in my brain. What is this? Might as well be black and white. When we return, only Jerry Jones could be given a restraining order, basically, by the NFL. And it has nothing to do with football. The Jerry Jones circus continues. Happy Tuesday to you. Thanks for spending some of the time with us today here on CBS Sports Radio and simulcast the CBS Sports Network. Damon Amendolara in for Jim today. You could usually catch me preceding Jim on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. Also on SiriusXM 206, where the rest of CBS Sports Radio is. That's SiriusXM 206. And on your phone, check us all out here on CBS Sports Radio using the CBS Sports app, radio.com, or Apple Music. Nate tweets, DA, I hate that these guys didn't give credit to Ace Ventura. Hashtag, all righty then. Stealing a shark, stealing a dolphin. Damon, we think these van guys are cool. Signed, the Wet Bandits. It's from James. D.A., what is scarier, a Sharknado full of scary trailer park vans and Jim McElwain clones, Unwar Sharknado XXX coming summer of 2020 on Lifetime, War Jim Rome Show, War 12 Wood, and Wood Scopes? That's from JJG. A Sharknado full of trailer park vans, Shark Bandits, and McElwain clones is terrifying after the San Antonio Aquarium story, which kind of shows you where we are as an American culture when that leads CNN today. That was the lead story today. I mean, who says the American education system needs an overhaul? Who, I mean, what's the evidence? Speaking of America institutions, how about the Dallas Cowboys being America's team? And I think about this because if you call the Cowboys America's team right now, you'd be laughed at. It sounds like a sick joke. Oh, yeah, America's team. That team that's won 2 playoff games in 20 years. 20 years. Once upon a time, the Cowboys were known as America's team because they used to embody what we as Americans wanted to believe in ourselves. They were glamorous. They were strong. And they were winners. That's what we like to think of ourselves. America does not like to think of ourselves as losers. We are winners. We like glitz. We like glamour. We like winning. So the Dallas Cowboys, shiny star on the helmet, hole in the roof, Roger Staubach, Tony Dorsett, the doomsday defense. That's America's team right there. But since they went to the Super Bowl, 7 losing seasons, 3 straight 5-11s once upon a time, 3 straight 8-8s not too long ago, 2 playoff wins, and now calling them America's team feels like a mockery. Not a Macarena, a mockery. Which is funny because it's almost like the Cowboys have made this transition with the country. They now embody what we really are, which is entrenched in hollow celebrity, stuck in our own nostalgia, and addicted to controversy. Like, did the sharks get stolen from the aquarium? And what's the constant? Jerry Jones, of course. And Jerry Jones has never met a microphone he didn't like. And Jerry Jones stands at the top of the NFL owners in terms of influence in many ways because he has been so successful as a business owner. Jones's business acumen, well, that can't really be questioned. He's been tremendously successful when it comes to licensing, marketing, luxury suites, practice facilities, brand new stadium, the Jumbotron, the revenue, the worth of the franchise. These are the things that Jerry Jones knows. Building a football team? Oh, no. And I think that Jerry Jones is really becoming Al Davis. You know, this week the NFL has had to tell him, hey, man, shut up about the anthem. Because even though the NFL owners had all agreed, don't say anything about the anthem, nobody here don't say it, Jerry had to talk about it. And Jerry said, we've got a strict anthem policy. We will stand at attention, toes on the line. Which, look, I'm not going to tell you how to think about the anthem controversy because you've already got your thoughts. But if you are Jerry Jones and you are going to run the hardline stance of the anthem, maybe you want to take off your hat during the national anthem, which he did not do yesterday, which his nemesis in Dallas, Dale Hansen, put on TV to make him look like a bozo. And Hansen is right. If you're going to run a hardline stance about the anthem and you're going to talk about the anthem and the NFL is going to make you stop talking about the anthem, the least you should do is be able to pay the proper respect of the national anthem, which is take off your hat, man. But this is just the next in a line of embarrassments for Jerry Jones because he is now the new Al Davis. Once the owner of a winner and now the owner of a loser, who cannot get out of his way because he's a dithering old codger. Jerry Jones tried to sue the NFL last year because of the Roger Goodell contract extension, even though Jerry Jones had agreed to the extension. Jerry was part of the owners that, as a consensus, said Roger Goodell gets the extension. And then when Goodell suspended his player, Ezekiel Elliott, suddenly Jerry Jones said, oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to sue. Yeah, I'll sue the league. That's what I'll do. Yeah, that's the ticket. I'll sue the league. Again, he's Al Davis. This makes no logical sense. You've already agreed to the Roger Goodell extension, but you are going to wage war with the NFL because your player was the one that got bit. You're the one that they've got to tell, hey, man, just stop talking about the anthem. And if you're going to run a hard line, at least take off your hat. He is in dithering old codger territory. He's the guy that the behind-the-scenes cameras caught throwing a hissy fit because the Dallas Cowboys didn't draft Paxton Lynch. He's the guy that desperately wanted Johnny Manziel and had to be talked out of it. Had Jerry Jones still had full football autonomy, the Cowboys quarterback situation would be Paxton Lynch and Johnny Manziel in some order. Nice. Really nice. I mean, they've had to wrestle influence away. But guess what? When Jerry Jones has fawning profiles done on him by documentary companies, and when he's voted into the Hall of Fame and he has incredible influence in the league meetings, he's got an ego that cannot be stopped, and you cannot then just go ahead and say, man, you gotta chill, because he can't, he won't, he doesn't know how to. And the one constant in the Cowboys becoming a laughingstock from America's team has been Jerry Jones. Once he pushed Jimmy Johnson and split up that dynasty back in 1993, it's been all downhill. I mean, Jerry Jones hired a coach 20 years ago, now more, because he felt, my roster is so good, I can hire my drinking buddy and he'll win a Super Bowl, which he did. Barry Switzer. You know, since Barry Switzer, there's been two playoff wins and a never-ending parade of embarrassment, a never-ending parade of drama and soap opera, a never-ending parade of just humiliation. And it's so wild. I mean, if you're a kid under the age of 25, calling the Cowboys America's team is a joke. It's a sick joke. America's team? America's team. The team that once had Quincy Carter as their quarterback, Chan Gailey, Dave Campo, Maurice Claiborne, Bobby Carpenter, Quincy Carter, Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett, he's held a job for 7 years. He's had three winning seasons, two playoff years in 7 years, two playoffs. It's kind of a sick joke now. And the one constant is Jerry Jones. And let's face it, the Raiders couldn't turn the page until Al Davis died. That's just the reality. And I'm not wishing death on Jerry Jones, of course. I'm just saying, unless they're able to somehow completely wrestle control away from Jerry and just keep him at arm's length. Hey, man, don't say anything. No influence over the football. Stop talking every week. Just stop. That is just going to be a cycle of drama and soap opera because Jerry is the head of it. And you know, the real unfortunate part is that Jerry Jones is very unlike an owner that desperately needs a championship at the end of his career, like Mike Ilitch. Mike Ilitch was all in to win championships, especially a World Series for the Tigers. He was saying, there is no cost that I won't spend. I need the best people around, the best players around. We have to go all in for a title. Mike Ilitch was all in. Jerry Jones doesn't really even care about winning Super Bowls anymore. You want to know why? Because he cares about quarterly reports, annual revenues, and being on that Forbes list. What's the most valuable franchise? That's what really gets Jerry's goat going. That's what really gets his juices flowing. So Cowboys fans who desperately want to win know that they have an anchor around their neck at all times, and it is Jerry Jones. Greg Hardy. Yeah, bring him in. Yeah. Randy Gregory. Sure, bring him in. Guys that'll smoke themselves out of the league, bring them in. Johnny Manziel, Paxton Lynch, draft those guys. Yeah, hard line of the anthem stance. Oh, I forgot to take off my hat. Yeah, he just, it's a never-ending buffoonery. And it just will never change until Jerry actually does not have influence over the organization anymore. He's the new Al Davis. And not the good Al Davis back in the 70s and early 80s. The real bad one in the 90s. The one that had a PowerPoint presentation of fire Lane Kiffin with Band-Aids all over his nose. That's going to be Jerry Jones at some point in time. Skeletor with a PowerPoint. I love the tweets that have come in today. Love them. Casey tweets, wore all of John Gruden's film, starting with the headline, brought to you in color. Damn it, I need to hire better criminals so I can get my hands on another shark. Regards, Jimmy Mac. That's from Alex in the 207. Gruden is doing fine, damn it, leave him alone. Signed, Jimmy McGinty from JC and Destin. Mad Mike tweets, D.A., Dwight Howard is that coworker who eats people's lunches out of the break room fridge. He's definitely that guy. And goes, well, I didn't do it. What? You're on surveillance. We got you on camera. You ate the Chinese food out of the fridge, didn't you? I was talking about those baseball card collections that we had that we thought were going to turn into millions of dollars, and now they're worth cents. Including the Ken Griffey Jr. Upper Deck rookie card that we all thought we were going to retire on. I had an Upper Decker my rookie year, too, signed Najee D. That's from Pete in Kalamazoo. D.A., I don't know who this Ken Griffey Jr. is, but I'm familiar with an Upper Deck, signed Najee Davenport. Ken the Sandman. Watching paint dry is more entertaining than Dwight Howard's punny, lame jokes. That's from Liz. But yet he had a room full of reporters dying. D.A., I totally believe everything Dwight is saying. Signed, Manti Te'o. That's from Johnny Scab. Good couple of days of the tweets. Good couple of days of the phones. Good couple of days on the show. I appreciate everybody that weighed in and was part of it. And listened, I'll be back on Monday. That should be a lot of fun. I'm back to my normal time slot tomorrow through the end of the week. And then here inside the jungle on Monday. As I always say, this is a total thrill for me, having grown up with the show and loving the Jim Rome show with everything. So this was totally cool. Thanks for letting me crash the party. Sean Mraz, executive producer today. Tom DeCelestino on the Wheels of Steel. Everybody back at CBS Sports Network on the TV side of Mission Control. Thanks so much for making us look good. I am DA. Tiki and Tierney is next, and I am out.